Our sermon reading this morning comes from Matthew 18. If you would open your Bibles and follow along. If you didn't bring a Bible today, there should be one on the back of the pew in front of you, and the page numbers are going to be on the screen. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." You may be seated.
When we think of poisons, we normally think of substances that cause physical illness or death. Botulinum is actually the deadliest poison we know. The way it works is that your nervous system fails you and you die in extreme pain. Strychnine is not as toxic as other poisons, but it causes one of the most horrific deaths of all. Actually, every muscle in your body spasms violently until you die from exhaustion. But there's another poison that causes emotional, relational, and spiritual illness to us and to those that we know and love. And that poison, ladies and gentlemen, is forgiveness. Excuse me, unforgiveness. It's unforgiveness. Sorry. Give me some grace. I'm not feeling well. All right. You forgive me, yes. Oh, Lord, help me. Destroyed that moment. Unforgiveness destroys our life by causing bitterness, resentment, pent-up anger, and deep hurt and pain. It robs us of joy and disrupts us and even ruins some or all of our relationships. What makes unforgiveness so insidious is that we often don't know or won't admit it that we have ingested its poison. We often blame its symptoms on other people. Now, whether you know you harbor unforgiveness or not, listen up today. God wants to give you his antidote and free you from the jail cell that unforgiveness has put you into. And I know that there's some out there today that have some poison of unforgiveness in your bloodstream that you need the antidote for. So God wants each and every one of us to know today, the forgiven forgive. The forgiven forgive. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's you. And God wants to offer you total freedom today, but he's going to do so by challenging everything you believe. And I'm going to give you 6 life-altering truths about forgiveness from God's Word that can clear your body from the poison of unforgiveness. Now, part of me in my body wants to be home curled up in bed today. But the other part in spirit is so excited to be here, because every time I've preached this sermon or one like this, people have contacted me the week or two afterwards and told me that they've had a spiritual breakthrough, that life has been changed because they forgave somebody that they've been holding on to the pain. And so I'm looking forward to that phone call this week. I'm going to be on vacation, but you can call me or email me. I'm going to look for that. But before I begin, let's pray. Please bow your head. Lord, please protect my voice and my words that I might faithfully declare your word with clarity, passion, and the authority that comes only from your word. I ask you to comfort the afflicted today, but also to afflict the comfortable, so that we might all be more conformed to the image of your Son today. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Okay, so my first life-saving point is this. Forgiving is not optional for Christians. There is no such thing as an unforgiving Christian. Now, you're going to want me to prove that, right? It's a pretty bold statement. So let's get into our passage. Today's passage lies within a bigger teaching of Jesus, which begins actually in Matthew 18:15. I usually teach this all together. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Jesus is teaching in this passage about the necessity of addressing sins committed against us by our Christian brothers and sisters. The necessity to address sins between us for the purpose of reconciliation. By addressing sin in our relationships, biblically, relationships are strengthened, not weakened. They're strengthened, not weakened. Actually, by not confronting sin in our relationships, we are weakening our relationships. Of course, forgiveness is an essential piece in the reconciliation process, and that's why it's here. Now, at Jesus' time, the rabbis taught you must forgive your brother or sister up to 3 times. 3 times forgive them. After that, there was no more need to forgive. Now, Peter, recognizing the importance of forgiveness and reconciliation, wants to impress Jesus with how spiritual he is, right? He's going to show, hey, those guys are saying 3, but Jesus, how much we forgive? Up to 7? See how spiritual I am compared to the rabbis? Jesus says, no, not 7 times, but 77. And some of the manuscripts that we have, ancient manuscripts, say 70 times 7. So I want to ask you this. Was Jesus saying that on the 78th time, you don't have to forgive anymore? Is that what he was saying? No, what was he saying?
He was saying,
oh. Our forgiveness is not limited. That's what he was saying. Then Jesus tells a very emotional parable to illustrate his point. This is emotional if you get through it. Jesus tells about a king who wanted to settle up with a subject who owes him 10,000 talents, presumably of gold. In today's dollars, that would be about $50 billion. Of course, as my old background says, when I saw 10,000 talents, I had to know how much is that in today's dollars, and it was $50 billion. Now, when I started teaching this parable, there was no man or woman alive that had that much money. Then came along Jeff Bezos, blew the parable. Poor guy had to give his wife, $37 million, his divorced wife? Now he's got to scrape by on $110 billion. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm sure he'll make out. But here's the point. Jesus is giving them a figure. This guy owes the king an amount. What? How could that possibly be? That's the equivalent of worth of an entire kingdom. The original hearers would have wondered, how could a servant run up that kind of debt? And the key point is that no man could pay this debt. No man could pay back this king. That's the key point. So the king ordered the man and the family be thrown into debtor's prison. You know, where you get thrown in, you don't get out until somebody pays it for you. The man begged for mercy and asked for more time to repay the debt. Then the king did something incredibly merciful. You might even say the king did something foolish. The king doesn't give the man more time to pay his debt. He actually cancels the debt. Like a good New Yorker, he says, forget about it. This is crazy. It's crazy. Here is a debt a man can never pay. And on one hand, he can't pay it. And this is so costly to the king. It's the amount of his kingdom. And he says, forget about it. He doesn't give him more time. He just says, forget about it. Cancels the debt. You know what? Jesus' hearers would have wanted to know, who is this king? Who is this king that would do such a thing? Of course, us Christians know who that king is, right? That king is God the Father. And that's exactly Jesus' point. God the Father canceled our sin debt. He didn't give us more time to pay it. He canceled it. Though it cost him the suffering death of his son, Jesus Christ. God's mercy was free to us. But make no mistake about it, it was very costly to God the Father and, of course, to Jesus. The Lord's forgiveness of every single one of our sins is a free gift to us, but it wasn't free for Jesus. Saints, we are the forgiven. We are the forgiven. Can I get an amen on that? Which sins? Yeah, all of them. And so this is great news. And if you don't really understand so far, you'll never get the rest of what I'm going to have to say this morning. This is the most important part of the sermon this morning. That we are forgiven totally. That our sin debt that we could never pay has been canceled because of what Jesus did on the cross. Parable's not over, though. Parable's not over. That same servant who had a debt he could never pay, canceled, he had a servant himself who owed the equivalent of about $8,000. That's what 100 denarii, 100 days' wages. It's not trivial, but certainly payable. The servant begged for more time. Not cancellation of the debt, just for more time. On a debt that was payable. The guy said no, threw him into prison. Nobody can read this parable and get to this point without feeling outraged at this point. How could such a person do that? How could a person receive such extravagant mercy and then not give a smidge of it away to someone else? We're outraged. But then we feel better when justice is served and that unmerciful servant is hauled back to the king and then later thrown into the dungeon until all he owed the king was paid back. And how long would it take him to pay that back? Yeah, forever. Remember that. He would be in that dungeon being tortured forever. Yay, forever, right? We, the real reader, feel better now. Justice is served. What's right is right. So Jesus has taken us from surprise to anger. Now we're at peace because justice has been served, right? Then we get to verse 35. And ladies and gentlemen, this verse is one of the scariest verses in the entire Bible for anyone who calls themselves a Christian. And saints, I want you to be sure that this is a real warning for you and me today. This is a real warning for us. Verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So let me ask you a question. Who is this person who God the Father calls you wicked servant? Who is that person? Who is it? It's us when we don't forgive. It's us when we don't forgive. It's not just lip service. It's the real deal. It's from the heart. And is it limited by the number of times a person sins against us or how heinous their sin against us is? I'm not hearing it. Saints, this is a real threat. I don't want you to minimize it or try to cling to the idea of the security of the believer. If you're a real Christian, you will heed this warning. If you don't heed this warning, you better ask yourself if indeed you are a real Christian. You obviously don't understand the forgiveness you have received. And I hope this warning literally scares the hell out of you. Because I assure you this, this verse scares the hell out of me, and I teach this at Youth Challenge at least once a quarter. Every time I come to this verse, I'm reminded about what it says. Okay, I think the Lord has your attention now. What you need now is some better understanding of what is forgiveness. And I'll admit there's a lot of confusion, even misinformation on forgiveness. So let me help bring clarity to this issue of forgiveness. And I don't want you to leave scared today. That's not my purpose. I want you to leave here with the resolve to forgive as a lifestyle starting today. That's my goal. So number one, forgiving is not optional for a Christian. There is no such thing as an unforgiving Christian. But what exactly is forgiveness? And here's a definition for you. Forgiveness is giving up the right to retaliate in revenge. It is a promise not to seek personal retribution. Where do we get that from? Well, we get that from Romans 12, 19 mostly, but from other places in the Bible. Paul commands, he says, you know, for the Lord, he says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. I want you to think in these terms. Think in terms of hurt for hurt. Now, my mother's side of the family was unfortunately not that unique, but you might know people like this too. In my mother's household, I think my grandparents must have taught my mother's siblings and her that if somebody sins against you and causes pain, get revenge on them and move on and forget about it. If someone says or does something that hurts you, that gives you the right to hurt them back. And they're, hey, now you're even. Hey, move on. In on my mother's side of the family, there was no such thing as reconciliation. You know, ironing out problem in a relationship. It was all about evening the score. The problem is that it blew up all my aunt, uncles, and aunts and cousins' families. Our family members cut out of wills, siblings who haven't talked to each other in years, and it's unbelievable. Every time we go to a funeral, you know, this one comes early because he knows that the other one's going to come late because they don't want to see each other. We have to, before we ask about, okay, who's not talking to who this year? It's unbelievable. If I ask them, well, what about forgiveness? forgiveness? They'd probably say, oh yeah, that's what you do after you rip their hearts out, right? Now, forgiveness is giving up the right to retaliate in revenge. And here's a rule about forgiveness that a lot of people don't know about. It's a corollary. When you forgive someone, ready? You also relinquish the right to bring up the sin again. You relinquish the right to bring up the sin again. If you keep bringing up someone's sin against you, you really haven't forgiven him or her. You are using the reminder of their sin as a club to retaliate in revenge. In marriage, some of us don't want to forgive because bringing up past sins help us get our way, right? But it's poisoning our souls and slowly destroying our marriages. And I want to tell you, this is a real problem. Because I see it in marriage counseling. And unfortunately, I hear it from your kids, too. They see what's going on. Even little kids can pick up that tension. So number two, forgiveness is giving up the right to retaliate in revenge. You relinquish the right to bring it up again. Number three, you ask the question, but why is it so hard to forgive? Does anybody think forgiveness is easy? It's not. It's hard. So what can I do to make it easier? Here's a good rule of thumb. Forgiving others must be focused on what has been done for you, not what has been done to you. Let me read this again because this is profound. Forgiving others must be focused on what has been done for you, not what has been done to you. Forgiveness will be difficult for you, if not impossible, if you focus on what has been done to you. You know, we are very justice-oriented in our wiring, especially when it comes to us. Quite frankly, I know that some of you have been the victim of rape, abuse, betrayal, adultery, violence, and more. Some bad stuff has happened to you. And sin's wounds are deep. They are excruciatingly painful. And they may have changed the course of your life. But please remember, we don't forgive others because they deserve it. We forgive others because we have been forgiven. Just remember, we didn't deserve forgiveness either from the Lord, but he extended it. The forgiven forgive. As Christians, we don't treat people based on how they treat us, or we shouldn't. We treat others based on how God has treated us. Just think about that. How many times you keep doing the same things over and over, the same sin over and over again, and God still loves you. He hangs in there with you. As forgiven people, we forgive. And this is so important. This is a theme that we've been preaching the last few weeks. Christianity is a response to what's already happened in Christ to us. We don't initiate anything. We forgive because we've been forgiven. It's always a response to what's already happened in our lives, what Jesus has already gifted us with. That's why we do what we do. When we try to forgive another in the shadow of our hurt, it seems like we're the one who sinned against us is the one being rewarded. But when we forgive another in the shadow of the cross, forgiveness becomes a gift from one undeserving sinner to another. We have to focus on the fact that God has canceled our debt. Amen? The forgiven are the ones who forgive. And you might say, well, that's ridiculous, Pastor. I've never done anything like what has been perpetrated against me. I've never done anything even close to that. It's ridiculous to think I got to forgive that person. Well, that might be true if you compare sin to sin. But let's remember, we're talking about one thing versus a lifetime of sin. But what if you compare the cost of forgiveness If you don't look at the sin for sin thing, if you look at the cost of forgiveness, the cost of the Father to forgive your lifetime of sin was the suffering and death of his Son, Jesus Christ. That was the cost of the Father for your sin. What's the cost to you to forgive another? Is it anything compared to that? It's mostly wounded pride, I think. There's no equivalence when you look at it that way. To not forgive from that standpoint is what's ridiculous. And for the Christian, this is the correct way to look at it. If a Christian brother or sister who sinned against you, remember, Jesus died to pay for that sin of theirs. So you might say, okay, well, do I have to forgive a non-Christian when they sin against me? The answer is yes, because that brings us to number four. When I forgive another for their sin, I am set free from their sin too. When I forgive another for their sin, I am set free from their sin too. A counselor pastor, David Siemens, tells a story about a young woman he counseled one time. This woman had suffered every kind of abuse in her home, psychological, sexual, and physical abuse. Her very home that was supposed to be a place of refuge instead was a frightening and brutal place. And after a few counseling sessions, the woman said she was ready for healing. So he began to pray that she would forgive her perpetrators. And after a moment, she let out a bone-curdling scream. She just screamed at the top of her lungs. Now, Siemens was a little bit afraid what the secretary down the hall would think and the other people that were in the church at the time. So he asked the woman, what's going on? And she said, I can't give them up. My resentments, I can't give them up. They're all I have. They met a couple more times, but her heart was no longer involved anymore. She wanted to hang on to her unforgiveness. She came to a fork in the road and she chose the wrong way. Years later, in another state, a woman approached Siemens after he preached a sermon. And she walked up and she said, do you remember me? He looked at her closely and said, I'm really sorry, but I don't recall you. Please forgive me. See, the years were not kind to this woman, and she had aged a lot since they last met. She said, I'm the woman who screamed during prayer in your office. Remember me? And he said, yeah, I remember. She started sobbing and said this, two divorces and one nervous breakdown later, I should have given them up. She walked away and didn't look back. Unforgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, saints, is an emotional, relational, and spiritual prison. You don't want to live there. You don't want to live in that prison. I want to ask you, do you want to be right or do you want to be well? Do you want to hold on to your bitterness, resentment, pent-up anger, deep hurt and pain, or do you want to be well? Do you want to cling to things that poison your soul and destroy every one of your relationships? Or do you want to be well? When we don't forgive, it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. You are letting a person who doesn't even care or think about you have control over your life. Why should you let a person who hurt you long ago disrupt your current relationships with the people who you love and love you back? Unforgiveness gives others control of your life that they just don't deserve. Don't let yesterday ruin your today so it kills your tomorrow. Let me say that again. Don't let yesterday ruin your today so that it kills your tomorrow. Forgive them for you. Forgive them for the ones you love. And you're not going to let those other people who have hurt you in the past poison your relationships today. Don't let them. Remember, the forgiven, what do the forgiven do? They forgive, yeah. Number five, another reason that forgiveness can be so difficult is that forgiveness is not what many people think it is. We have a lot of wrong ideas about forgiveness. First of all, forgiveness is not forgetting. Too many of us don't know what is meant in a verse like Jeremiah 31, 34. God said, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Now, those of you who are in the gospel project, and I want to really encourage you, we're having signups in the next couple of weeks to get involved in our small groups. Do it. We're learning some great truths in those small groups, and this is one of them. We look at this verse, we said, God will remember our sins no more. People often say to me, I cannot forgive the other person. I will always remember what they did. I'm not like God. I can't forget. Listen, God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. That's what that means. When God forgives our sin, he doesn't wipe the sin from his memory. That's not what that verse means. He doesn't remember sin when it comes to judging us for salvation. The only thing God remembers for the Christian in Jesus is Jesus' perfect record when it comes to ours, because he's looking at the gift, not the wages. If God remembers, so will you. You'll remember what the person did, but you give up the right to retaliate. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not letting the person. Forgiveness is also not letting the other person off the hook. People should still be held accountable to make restitution when they're able. Sometimes you can't. We could forgive someone on our finance team for embezzling $10,000 from us, but that doesn't mean that we won't expect them to pay it back. And forgiveness is not saying it was okay. Not at all. When that man who forgave the woman who shot his brother, you know, when she went in the wrong apartment, and gave her a hug, he was not saying that it was okay what she did. Because it wasn't. And he had every right to still expect her to go to prison. I'm sure he did. Number six, I'm speaking biblically. There's no such thing as forgiving yourself. There's no such thing as forgiving yourself. A lot of people say to me, I feel so bad that such and such happened. I feel so guilty for causing this. I know God has forgiven me. And others have too, but I just can't forgive myself. If you're saying that one or both of these things are going on in your life, you have bought into the psychobabble of today's popular culture. You know, the culture that says it's all about me, all about my self-esteem. Upon self-examination, this is a manifestation of sinful pride. Scripture teaches that all sin is ultimately against God, and it is him we should find forgiveness. Psalm 51:4 says, against you, and you only have I sinned. When we hold a self-centered view of sin, we in essence say, against myself, myself only have I sinned. We make ourselves big and God small. And or, this is a trick of Satan to use our feelings instead of God's truth against us and trap us in a prison of our own making. Remember, our feelings are not reliable. God's truth is what's reliable. The truth is that only the forgiveness of God can remove our guilt. Only the forgiveness of God can remove our guilt. The truth is that nowhere in Scripture are we told to forgive ourselves. It's not there. John 8:32. Here's what, if this is the way you feel about those things, I want you to hear this. Jesus says, the truth will set you free, not your feelings. You don't have to forgive yourself. The forgiver forgives you. John 8:36, Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. What a great verse. Now, there's a story about two men at a New Year's Eve party. These two men had a falling out and hadn't spoken in years and years and years. The friend of one of the men goes up and tells the guy, hey man, you're the Christian in this relationship. It's up to you to go over that man, over to that other guy and break the ice. Go wish him a happy new year. So his friend, he said, all right. You know, his friend guilted him into going and do it. So he walked over to the man he hadn't spoke to in years, and he said, I wish you a happy new year, but only one. Saints, Jesus calls us to forgive from the heart and not merely with words. He forgave us totally. He calls us to totally forgive too. Mahatma Gandhi famously said this, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is about an attitude of the strong. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attitude of the strong. He was wrong. The weak can forgive when they remember what Christ has done for them. All the forgiven forgive. Amen? Now I'm going to be off for 2 weeks. We got a couple great preachers coming, lined up to give you God's word. But when I come back, I'm going to go through a process of forgiveness. This is tough stuff, and I want to give you a process that works. But I want you to leave today with the resolve to forgive. Maybe you don't need this process. Maybe you got what you needed today, but you'll get a process in a few weeks. Remember, the forgive and forgive. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for being that king who at a great price canceled our debt. And Lord, I just hope we walk away today remembering the magnitude of what you did for us. We adore you, God, because you are merciful, you are forgiving, and based on that, we want to live our lives. So praise you for loving us so much that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. And Lord, we love you back. And Lord, help us to live in a healthy way that you've designed for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
amen.